Hello and welcome back to this bonus series of the Sunday Podcast.
Yep, it's the big one. The Olympics is here.
I'm Ollie Lum.
I'm Matt Seddon.
And over the next 10 days, we're going to be bringing you daily content on Twitter, Instagram and here on the pod.
We're covering all the distance events from 800 metres right up to the marathon.
It's going to be a good one.
Enjoy.
Right, guys, welcome back. Today we're joined by Tokyo Olympian and 3,000 meter steeplechase athlete Zach Seddon. So very pleased to have him on the pod for another review up today. Zach, how's it going, mate? You've just got back a couple of days ago, right?
Yeah, good, mate. Cheers. Yeah, not bad. Got back on Sunday night, I think. Yeah, we all had to be out of the village 48 hours after our event. So yeah, got back and all good now. Just struggling with a bit of jet lag, to be honest.
Yeah, for sure. Is that how's your kind of thoughts on it overall as an experience? Like, pleased to be finally an Olympian, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, you go to the Olympic Games, no one's ever going to turn that down. I mean, it was pretty good experience. I loved it. I think it was a bit different for every athlete on what they expected, but I mean, that's just life and that's just sport. So yeah, no, it was real good. I mean, obviously, that's what I've been going for a while. So, yeah, I'm pleased.
Yeah, man. And I've got Zach sitting next to me, so it's good to have him home. And I just want to say, let people know a little bit of the experience. Obviously, there's athletes competing out there at the moment. Let them know, you know, the procedures that may be different to previous Olympic Games that athletes have had to go through to just, one, make it to this Games, and then, two, obviously, at the Games itself.
Well, I think making the Games was pretty standard. You do a time, you finish top two at trials. It's kind of the same for everyone. So that was pretty standard. Obviously, you have
like
to...
Traveling and preparations.
Right? Oh, the travel? Yeah. I mean, the travel to Tokyo and stuff, yeah. We just get on a plane and go to... There's nothing different in the travel. Mm. I mean, we traveled there, yeah. Just the COVID stuff. So obviously, you've got your tests beforehand, and in the lead up to traveling, you have your tests. I think we had, I want to say in 14 days, we had 11 tests, three of which were PCR. The rest were lateral flows. That was the 14 days prior to flying. And then when we got there, it was scheduled to be a test every day. Unfortunately, I was one of the people. There was 10 of us in the end, two staff, eight athletes, that had to be quarantined. So we was taking two tests a day all the way up until my race, really. Yeah, but the experience there, I mean, it was good. The staff did what they could to help out, and training was the same. It's just you had to be in your room. But I mean, it was an unreal experience. But I mean, the whole time leading up to your race anyway, you're just thinking about the race. So yeah, it was good. It was good.
Do you think a lot of athletes out there had a bit more, I'm not going to call it anxiety, but were a lot of mental stress on, you know, getting COVID tests? Because I remember, like, before you even flew out to Japan, you know, you were concerned about, I mean, every COVID test is almost like a mini heart attack waiting to see what it comes back, negative or positive, right?
Yeah, I mean, that, you know, obviously you're worried, but I don't think people are that concerned. I mean, I'd hope you'd know if you had COVID. Mm. And obviously we're athletes, we're doing everything we can not to get COVID. Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, and it was just part of the process. I mean, yeah, there's added pressures, but it's the same for everyone. Everyone's taking COVID tests. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, man. Well, that's a bit of the procedures. And then on your result as a whole, like, are you feeling more, you know, after your result, are you feeling more sort of motivated now to head towards Paris?
Yeah, definitely. I think I don't know an athlete who doesn't even do a race and want to do another one, let alone whether it's good or bad. I think at the Games, I certainly got a feel that, or even going in, that people wanted another Olympics at least to have like what you would call a proper experience. Mm-hmm. But I think looking back, and that's what I, you know, looking back, I'm just so happy that I went to Olympics and I'm now an Olympian. And I think, you know, if that was the circumstances that it had to be in, then that's fine too.
Yeah, that's a good way of looking at it, man. Well, I mean, that's pretty much sums up that, doesn't it, Lumsky? And we can get down to reviews. Obviously, we got Zach. He went in the steeplechase and we had an impressive female Lizzie Bird in the women's steeplechase today in the final as well.
Yeah, for sure. Obviously, Lizzie Bird finished in ninth place and a new British record of 9.18. Is that right?
9.19, wasn't it?
9.19. Yeah, ninth place.
Yeah, so I guess, yeah, from an athlete's perspective, Zach, you can't really ask any more of yourself, really, in a major final.
No, I mean, she's good. You know, she's gone there and she's PB'd. British record. But the most pleasing thing for me as an athlete is you've come ninth, like in our top 10. Like, that's huge. So I think that she's just going to be over the moon, especially as someone who, you know, probably wanted to final and stuff. So to come up and show up in that final is unreal, especially as, like, I mean, these Olympics and especially that race has been like, there's people just, you know, not showing up, and that's part of being an athlete. You have to do that. So to do that is amazing.
I mean, let's talk about the steeplechase in itself, because that race was, it was an incredible race. Probably one of the, I know we've had so many good events already in the games, but for me, it was probably one of the best distance races we've seen, just in the way that, you know, the changing of the lead. But one thing I thought was apparent in the steeple, and I think it's apparent in quite a lot of steeples, is the way they were just strewn out over the track, Zach. You know, how they were just, they're absolutely dead. The gaps seemed quite big. We saw Coben fall with a lap to go because she just literally was too tired to go over the barrier. Talk about the physical strain in a steeple, especially after you've had a heat as well.
Yeah, I mean, well, exactly. It's almost like you can't run completely out because you still have to, you know, handle the hurdles. Yeah, that race was unreal. And the thing is, what I found in this champs, or what seems to be, is like, I think because it's so hot, or a certain time of year, like, different people are handling like big moves differently. Mm-hmm. So, you know, but when Frederick's made that move, I mean, that was crazy. It was so nice to see someone go into a race. Like, she knew exactly what she was doing, and she knew exactly what she was going to do, and she executed, and she came up with a silver medal, which, and you see her afterwards, like, cheering and like crying. So she was obviously ecstatic with that. So it's nice to see someone go in with a game plan, execute it, and get what they wanted from it.
Yeah, for sure. I think I'd agree with you there, Zach. Like, for me, that was the most exciting thing. We've seen so many of these races just play out to the kickers. No one's really wanted to take it on. And I think from our perspective watching, I think we kind of feel that is a bit due to the heat. I don't know if you'd agree with that, Zach. Just people aren't willing to go from a long way out because of the conditions out there. It was so good to see it today, and it definitely shook up what people expected in terms of results. And obviously having a Ugandan win it as well, no Kenya win in either the men's or the women's steeplechase. So that's got to be a bit of an upset.
Yeah, no Kenya win. I mean, yeah, they're probably going to be sorting themselves out and ready for Paris. But yeah, she went from, yeah, people not going from a long way out. The thing is, though, once you get to the Olympics, you're playing with, like, you know, a matter of seconds, probably maximum, over your next rival. And you and I both know, as runners, like, if you're going to lead someone out, you want a healthy gap. So, yeah, no, it was good. And the heat's tough. So it just comes down again to, like, how athletes are preparing and the preparation that they're putting in. So,
yeah. What do you guys think about Freix and Chemetai then? Do you think Freix could have done anything else to win that race?
Mate, it's quite weird because the coverage, I don't know if it's the coverage of it yet, but about a lap to go, I was watching Coben, and she did look like she was struggling. And so I was watching it, and obviously she fell on that tour. She seemed to get over that hurdle, then fell on landing, or her legs would just completely give way. But then when they panned back to Ferex, she was in second place. And so I don't know what happened to Ferex at that hurdle with 300 meters to go, but she must have had a real sort of, either the Uganda really increased, or she just had a real sort of bad patch with sort of...
Were you watching BBC?
No, we weren't on the BBC, mate, because they on BBC One, they panned, so we were on Eurosport, actually.
Yeah, I was on Eurosport. I'm pretty sure I saw the pass.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, I think it was around, like, 250.
Yeah, I saw the pass, but, like, I was like, well, how did that gap just come
even,
from...
Maybe even after 250.
Yeah, but... But anyway, I mean, she did give away quite a substantial lead. So I think Freix just went potentially a little bit hard, but I think she knew in the back of her mind that she had to do that to get a medal. And I think if you probably asked her, she would probably take a medal of any color before the race.
I'm sure. And I think like Zach,
that's probably her aim, I think.
I feel like with Steeple, even maybe more so than other events, it's like they always seem to be run like pretty true, and they do tend to go to form. I mean, that was probably as close as I could find an exception, you know, with Coburn finishing so low down. But so usually I think like maybe Ferrix, like if I think, could she have done anything more to win? I mean, I'm not sure, to be honest. You know, sometimes you just get beat by a better athlete, or that athlete has a better day. I don't know what happened to Coburn or Chepkovic.
I don't know, but...
Or some of the others either.
The heats, I mean, Zach, we're seeing this quite a lot now. They're, I mean, in the men's, the steeple heats are very quick. The women's 5K, the heats are very quick. And today in the women's 15, the heats, well, the semis, if you like, were quick. The heats in the women's steeple as well were very quick. And I wonder if that's just taking a toll on these athletes, you know. It's rarely that you actually...
Yeah, I mean, the women's steeple heats were done in what, like 38 degrees in the morning? They were
done in very hot conditions.
Like, to recover from that, and especially, you know, the speed they were going. Mm. I mean, if you look at someone like Lizzie Bird, that's where I think she's done really well. Because she's not only recovered, she's come out and run, what, 7 seconds quicker in the final than she did in the heat?
Yeah.
See, that's professionalism, that is. That's well good.
Well, and if you look at Lizzie Bird's last, what, four races, so she's won the British champs, she's then run a British record in Monaco, she's then run within 2 seconds of that record in the heat, and then she's come back 2 days after that, finished ninth in the world, and run a new personal best. Like, that's phenomenal. Like, peak.
Yeah, and her PB before this year was, what, 9:38?
No, 9:30 in Doha.
Oh yeah, yeah. Not her PB, but she opened her season with the 9:38 steeple.
Which is
incredible to just keep progressing down like that.
Yeah.
You know, but I mean, that's pretty much the women's steeple. Incredible race. The Ugandan came out on top. Ferrix in second as well, and they had an incredible battle, really.
Also Chematai PB'd as well for the win.
What surprised me and Zach beforehand is I thought the Bahrain, the Yavi looked very good in her heat. She won her heat, and also Kiang as well obviously looked very good, but good enough for third today.
I mean, Kiang was still closing hard, and I think that's why what Freix did really shook up the race, because it meant she just had too much to do in the last 100, but she was still closing pretty fast.
Yeah, I don't know. It almost looked like they let Ferrix go because they thought it wasn't either going to be like a proper move, or they thought she was coming back. I don't know, but that move was strong.
We said an interesting thing as well. Like Coburn really struggled. And we don't know if it was because Ferrix was the one pushing on the pace. You know, Coburn's maybe mentally ahead sort of went. It was shock. I think Ferrix took a lot of people by surprise doing that. I don't think no one called how that race was going to go. No. And so I think by the time you realise what's going on and two laps have passed, it's too late.
I suppose. If you look at it, though, like, you would sort of think maybe Ferrix is going to make a move because she's not the fastest.
I
think Coburn, I don't know. I mean, no one's probably ever going to know.
She probably just didn't recover or whatever.
Apparently she did a lot of interviews afterwards, despite like running almost so badly, I guess, for her standards.
What did she say? Did you listen to them?
She got DQ'd.
I've seen quotes from it. I haven't actually seen them live, but they're saying that essentially she felt like her body just shut down halfway through the race, and she just couldn't run, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it looks like on the surface, but I guess we won't know
any deeper. It's all about how people react for, you know, the heat and out in Tokyo. I mean, COVID had some COVID stress as well. I mean, she was walking around with Sam Kendricks. We've seen it on video. He obviously got COVID, so she may have had a few scares there, maybe some isolation, who knows. But mate, let's move on. Let's take a step back. Finishing the session pretty much tonight, that men's 800 meter final. I mean, what do you think, Zach? Did you predict how that was going to go? That was, again, these races aren't going to the form book.
Oh, the men's 800 final. Yeah. No, I mean, I didn't expect that. But again, I think you run that race again, there's going to be totally different top three, anything like that. I think that career ran well. I think Bol ran unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
I wish he could have got, you know, a bit more for his efforts. Yeah, a bronze or a silver or even a gold. I mean, I think he was the one that like made that race really, because what did they go for him, 53?
Yeah, they went through, didn't they do 53 and bits and then come back in 51?
Yeah, that's classy, that is. Wow.
Yeah, I mean, me and you had Rotich yesterday, didn't we? We said Rotich looked so good in the rounds, and I think he was clawing back on career, but he just couldn't get through on the inside.
Yeah, it looked like he got stuck.
Yeah,
round by 150. But yeah.
Well, I mean, yesterday I said Clayton Murphy, and he just got it completely wrong positionally.
Yes.
At a bell, he was just too far back, and then when you're kicking with 300 to go, and all of you are that fast, there's just no way you're making up that ground.
Yeah, I don't know, because that's after the first lap, I thought the race was playing into his hands. I was like, oh man, Clayton Murphy in medal here again. But he's, to me this year, he's just been kind of like hot and cold. I mean, that's not cold, is it? Like Olympic final. But, you know,
standards.
I don't know if he thinks he's run like the best race he could have done.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
He just, for me, he just didn't get involved enough. And I feel like when you're, you know, if these guys are going to run their last lap in 51 seconds, it's very hard to run, you know, a 50 point, you know, in an 800 meters on that final lap. So they're going to be running 51. You need to be up there at the front, and he just couldn't get involved. Basically, it looked like that to me.
I think we should be talking about the guy who got bronze, like the old 400 meter hurdle.
Yeah, Dobek. Like that is an incredible story, really. Like, let's talk about kind of January indoor time.
European
results come out of Poland, and he's taken down Kishot, the Polish champs. And we're like, okay, this guy could be all right. And then we're like, Euro indoors, obviously winning that. But there's another level to then getting bronze at the Olympics.
Yeah, mate. That's it. So when was he doing four hurdles last year?
Yeah.
So last year,
2019. Yeah.
I mean, I just think, again, he got it tactically bang on, really. I think it's a difference there's a slight difference between, you know, athletes and what their aims are as well. And I think his aim again was a medal, and he basically executed his race perfectly to get that medal. As I think Bol was actually thinking, well, I feel really good and I may try and like get the gold.
It makes you wonder how many athletes are doing like the wrong event. Because you see that long jump,
yeah,
win the 100 as well. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true. That Jacobs. Jacobs. He used to be a long jumper, and then he won 100 meters.
Or even Fred Curley stepping down to the 100.
The 100 again, bronze. Yeah, silver or bronze.
Yeah,
whatever. But yeah, that is a good point, Zach. Yeah, you wonder what people are actually in the wrong events, so maybe they should dabble in a few.
So Zach 700 meter hurdles next year.
I think with that one though, it takes good coaching to be able to transition. You know, long jump and 100, I guess, are quite similar in sprints. And I guess four hurdles and 800 are probably the closest. But you look at Dobek, mate, he's probably looking at it like, man, I'm not going to compete against Warholm.
Yeah, 400 hurdles and Brian Benson.
I'm going to compete against those guys. I'll have a dabble at the 8. So they are quite similar events, I guess.
Yeah, for sure. Because it's essentially a more strength-based 400. I guess a bit like transitioning from a 3K steeple to a 5 rather than from a 15 to a 5.
Like I say, but he ran well. Bol was fourth, two clubs in there.
Yeah, and
a weird race, wasn't it? It was almost, you never really see it go that slow in a major. There's normally someone who's itching to go.
We were saying if we got some British guys in there, certainly like I was thinking like maybe Giles, like that race would have suited him, I think.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So for Giles, if you're looking at it, like the semi is harder than the final. Like getting there is a lot harder than I think the final would have been.
Yeah, for sure. I think we said that throughout. It's just so tough to get through those semi-finals. And in the final, it really is anyone's race.
I think Giles would love that race, mate. You know, that negative split, getting in the right position, I think he probably would have really enjoyed that.
Yeah.
Coming down to that
Amos,
last 100.
And it didn't go well for Amos. I mean, he would have wanted it faster.
Yeah, I was almost surprised he didn't just front run it as soon as it was a bit slow. But I think that's
I
don't know. You really got to be committed and stuff. And I think coming in, maybe in like his preparation in the weeks before, he'd have thought someone like a Rock might have been in the final.
Mm.
So probably thinking that the final was going to go fast, but he ain't going to lead it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, or if Jared got through, obviously he was caught up with Amos in the semi-final.
Oh, yeah. I like that.
Someone like him would have probably, for sure, would have gone quicker than that.
Yeah. I liked it when they picked natural run and jogged it in. That was cool.
Yeah, I think it's a sportsmanship. Everyone, you can speak on it, Zach, as well. Like, everyone in the, at the Olympics respects one another for being there, right?
Yeah, yeah. And I think, you know, a lot more people are a lot friendlier than it might than you might think. Like, those guys would know each other probably, and they'd be mates.
Yeah.
A bit like if there was someone in the steeple and stuff, like, I get along with them pretty well. You know, because, you have that respect and you spend so much time, like, together doing the same event. And, yeah, I mean, you can talk to each other about your hobby for ages, can't you, really? So, yeah.
We can't we, Lumsky? But, yeah, and then kicking off the evening session today, we had the women's 1500 semifinals, which, for me, fascinating, I guess. Laura Mueller class, but should we just talk about McGee real quick? Because we were talking yesterday how anyone who falls over Zach gets just seemed to be bumped up. Corey McGee fell over. She's now on the start list for the final.
Yeah, I mean, it's a tricky one because, like, yeah, because, like, that's racing, is part of racing. But then also, like, you know, you've gone down. Someone else has brought you down. It's nothing to do with you, but... Yeah, I'm not sure how I think about it. That's just the way the rules are. I mean, I think until you're in that position, until you get, you know, if I'm going running around and someone else brings me down, I'll be absolutely fuming, saying that like I wasn't given a fair chance. So, yeah, I can see that.
Do you think it's consistent enough?
It's a tricky one.
That's my question.
It's consistent enough. I thought Mark Scott was in with a good shout of getting put into the final. I thought that was, like, pretty horrendous.
I think if Mark had fallen, he'd have 100% got
put through. Yeah, or just maybe milked it a bit more.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's what we said yesterday with Westy. We said it's almost like Westy compared it to going down in the box in football.
Yeah.
You go down, you're in short of a penalty. If you stay on your feet and try and make the most of it, you're never getting it.
I mean, that's the thing. I mean, Mark, in the back of Mark's mind, you know, someone might barge past him on the home straight like that. It throws him off, whether he would have qualified or not. But then, you know, there has to be a thought somewhere thinking, they might let me in. You know what I mean? Same with, like, Ailish. Well, she got clipped. Yeah. She's probably thinking, man, they should let me in to this final. But then they don't.
I mean, we're seeing so much of that now. And I mean, if you watch it, I don't think McGee, looking at that race and how it's run, I don't think McGee would have qualified anyway. So there is, you have to start wondering whether, you know, athletes are,
She was pretty gutted, wasn't she?
Yeah, she was gutted.
She was bare upset.
But the thing is, what you've got to be careful of is, do athletes just run stupidly knowing that, oh, it doesn't matter if I go down because I know I can get into the final? Like, this could be, if it continues this way and they keep just putting people through the rounds, athletes could just be falling down on purpose, just running, running in positions where there's no gap at all and they're just running in it for the sake and they're like, well, it doesn't even matter if I fall over.
Well, I'm guessing they're looking at it because they're looking on videos and no one's done that.
Well, this is... No one falls down on purpose, but what we seem to be seeing is our athletes taking a lot more risk than they perhaps would have, knowing that. But honestly, mate, I think we can name like four, can't we? You've got McGee, Amos, Lewandowski, you had a guy in the 5K, that's four off the top of my head who have just been bumped up to finals, mate. I know Lewandowski was a semi-final. And the ones like Mark, who aren't going down, they're not getting put through because I think the officials are just saying, oh, well, it didn't really affect you that much.
Well, that's the thing. And maybe that's where they're drawing the line because you can't have every barge be sent through to the final. Mm. You know what I mean?
Because there is some physicality there.
But. So, yeah. But if you get brought down and you get taken down and, you know, it's not your fault. Like McGee, that lady fell in front of her.
I think with McGee, it probably wasn't her fault at all. I think with Amos and Lewandowski, from where I'm sat, I didn't really think it was anyone else's fault, kind of.
No, I think Lewandowski was trying to go for a gap which weren't there.
Yeah.
And he shipped himself up, but...
Mate, no, Jewett brought Amos down.
That's opinion, man. That's opinion. Yeah. But anyway, enough about the fallers. We had, semi-final one with Katie Snowden was incredibly fast.
Those two heats were the fastest ever, apparently. In the Olympics.
Yeah, I mean, I think you had to run the fastest loser was something like 4 minutes.
Yeah.
Kate
Snowden's come out. She's turned out another 402.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? So all of those 402s, I'd sort of say maybe she's capable of quicker if she gets in like a race in Europe where she's not got, you know, the worry and stress of the Olympics. So yeah, I think she's done herself real proud. I mean, I'd be pretty pleased. You know, and it, you know, there's only the top 12 in the world make the final. And so to not make it is not a failure by any means. So I think she's done really well. And she only just missed out as well.
Yeah, for sure. And like you say, just finishing, running consistent times that are near your best, that's all anyone can really ask for. It's very hard to make a massive jump at a major champs.
How good did Kipyegon look though?
Yeah, I think that's where Hassan's treble attempt is going to be the hardest for sure.
What about Muir, do you think? She looked pretty good, mate.
Muir was calculated. She looked a lot better than in a heat, I thought. But I think, again, Muir looks a little bit comfier running at a slightly quicker pace throughout.
Hassan went down in the heat, didn't she?
Well, she didn't need to get advanced, mate.
I just worry with Muir.
She didn't need to get advanced,
Almost with Muir, I think it's going to be a case of how she runs the final and whether she's going all out for gold or trying to get a medal.
Well, I think judging by Muir before and judging by Riki's performance, I think Muir will be going all out for gold.
And I'm not saying she can't win it, but I think that's, depending on what the game plan is to do that, there's just a chance that it could just shoot herself in the foot in terms of losing out on a medal.
I think to win that race, that the race has to sort of go her way. And like the other two have to do something that kind of suits Muir, or maybe not show up. But I think if the best Laura Muir comes to that race, I think she's definitely got a bronze. Definitely. So, yeah, is it, you know, if she does everything right, she'll get the bronze.
I would agree with that. You know, and you look at the other heat. I know you had like Jess Hull and was it Stafford as well, running pretty quick. Muir beats them 9 times out of 10. So I think your medalists will be Kipyegon, Hassan, and Muir. It just depends, you know, what order, what color. I think for me, Hassan's just being it. I don't know if she's going to like sharpen up in the final, but she can't be giving Kipyegon that much.
No, I don't think she will. I think she's
back and stuff. She'll do it for the first lap. You see, she'll just go straight to the back. You can't give Kipyegon that amount. And I think Muir should hope that Hassan just gets caught out a little bit.
Don't forget Hassan. Everything Hassan's done up till now has just been with focusing on getting through to the final. You know what I mean? She hasn't actually raced like faith or anything.
Not in the 15s. I mean, in the 5, even I thought she left it quite a long time. Yeah, it's like sitting at the back, and then she was at the back of the group, and obviously she came through. But
yeah, I wonder whether she's going to put on like a show. What was it? Yeah, what was she doing? Doha? Was it the 10K or 5K?
It was the 10K, man.
Was it the 10K? Yeah, where she did put on a show. But when you're doing three events, like she's, for example, like tomorrow, when is it tomorrow? Not tomorrow.
No, so she, I think the 15, and then the day after, I think it's 10K.
So even in the 15 final, she's running thinking about the 10K. So that's probably maybe the 10K she put on the show. Maybe the 10K.
I think she's got to be a bit. I know she is good and she can sit at the back of the field, but for me, she's got to be a bit smarter, take some closer attention. Otherwise, I think Muir and Kipyegon, positioning wise, seem just a bit more switched on, as Hassan's just relying on her ability all the time.
You reckon there's any outside chances of medal? Who else?
Well, Stafford's looking pretty good, I've got to admit.
Where's she chained? Is she chained with the Bowmans? Right?
Oh, okay. Training with Bama, she's looking pretty good. And to me, I mean, one of the people I was excited to watch is Puria, Elena Puria, and she
completely run out of it.
Qualified as fastest loser, ran 4 minutes.
She's not great at all, did she?
No. And then, you know, you just wonder how. This is the strange thing we're seeing, athletes who seem to be really excelling and athletes who are really struggling.
I mean, I just think as well, like different rounds, different things happen.
Yeah.
I mean, for example, like you look at different things, different champs, or even like this champs, there's people who are scraping through the first round and then finishing very high in the finals.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like,
well, career, for example, then you make it through his fast loser, he now wins.
Mm. Yeah. I think we'll see similar with Josh Kerr, obviously getting the fastest loser. I think in the semi, he'll come back and be completely different athlete.
Yeah, exactly. Like sometimes it is those early rounds which are the hardest ones. What do you reckon about the 15s? You reckon 3 men in the final?
Yeah, I think there's no reason why they shouldn't be. That's obviously going out tomorrow. But again, like with these champs, I think it's so hard to call. And I'm sure we will see some sort of upset, whether it's from a British perspective or an international perspective. I think there will be some big names that miss out on that men's 1500 meter final.
I think that's pretty wide open, man. I don't think Ingebrigtsen's in as good a shape. I don't know about Chariot. He's quite class, actually.
He's really the only one that you're like is
the yeah,
sure I mean, thing for a medal. Everyone else is.
Yeah.
There's like eight guys.
Like maybe, like obviously Ingebrigtsen and Chariot. So I was thinking, oh, everyone's fighting over just one medal, but I think there's two medals now, if I'm being honest. Yeah.
I mean, Zach, you room with Whiteman quite a bit. How do you know how confident he is going into semi-final? Yeah.
I mean, Whiteman's there for a medal. That's what he's shown. You know, he's come to those games to try and get a medal, and I think he's, you know, has every right to do so. I mean, you look at his pedigree. Think people might be concerned about his Gateshead run, but from seeing him training and like in the Olympics and stuff, I think he's a bit of a different athlete. That just seemed, it kind of caught him at probably the worst time it could with the champs and Font Romeu and travel and, in, you know, the Olympics coming up. So,
yeah,
you know, and he went there and he ran a hard mile, which, you know, sometimes like people do that all the time at time trials in training. He's just happened to be in a race and he got beat by honestly some pretty good athletes.
Yeah,
so, you know, yeah, that's
some people need almost not a bad race, but a little bit of a kick up the backside sometimes as well, just to remind them, okay, I'm human, and we can move forward from that, I guess.
Yeah, I think so. And so, yeah, I think he's, you know, he's in class shape. His workouts have been pretty good. I'm excited. I'd say that's the next race I'm most excited for. There's obviously the 5. The women's 10. That's the only one that's left.
Women's
the
women's 10, 15. Women's 15.
Excited for that. Yeah. And the Maras.
Yeah. Not many distance races left. We must be sort of over halfway on the finals.
Yeah. Probably there.
Near enough. We've had the 2 steeples, the 2 8s, 10K, and 5K women's. So, pretty much slap bang on halfway.
Men's 5K would be good as well.
For sure. Well, yeah, for anyone listening, we hope your predictions are going well for the contest. Maybe let us know how you're doing on Twitter or Instagram. But Matt and I don't think we're doing too well this time.
I'm doing terribly, mate. I mean, you know, we put Murphy for that career. I think a few people had career, to be fair. A few people did have him after his Monaco run and stuff. So
that's when you boys trying to be too clever.
I overthink it, mate. I try and be way too clever with it.
I think it's because in my head I know the favourite's not good.
But how funny the results have so strange. Yeah, the results have actually been so strange.
Really?
I think so as well. But then to be fair, when you look at it, you're like, well, Albacali won, Borrega won the 10.
Yeah,
a lot of people, you know, these are quite strong favourites, to be fair. Mu won the 8, Korea won the 8. These are quite strong favourites. Yeah. I think I was trying to predict. I guess the favourites just haven't looked like their normal selves, so I kind of went against them.
You know what I was thinking of? I think like sometimes like the no crowds and that makes it look like that.
Yeah.
Like it's making it look at it sometimes on TV like a little bit flatter.
That's the point. Like, did you feel a bit of atmosphere there, Zach?
I mean, if you're a track and field athlete, you've definitely run in empty stadiums. So, you know, there's nothing nobody was used to. The atmosphere was pretty good, like the Olympics. And, you know, you're walking down into a massive stadium. Mm. There's a cool room, but there's not the crowds. But I think people are still able to. I mean, obviously, they're still able to perform. They have done. I just think, you know, it is a little bit of a shame. But yeah, I think it would make the TV look a lot better, I think.
Yeah.
That's what I would say. And I've also been pretty disappointed with the coverage. I mean, I have to, you know, the BBC, I'm here, there and everywhere trying to watch a race.
Yeah.
So. Well, mate, I mean, they did it today. They did it yesterday, right before, I can't remember what race it was yesterday. They flicked the horse riding. I did it again today before the women's steeple. It's just, you can't even bank on what you're going to be watching.
No. I've not tried BBC since day one now.
Oh, really? On yours?
Yeah. Well, it's
just safe. Just because I just don't trust it. I just hate the fact that in the back of my mind, I know it could switch to anything.
Yeah. But no, I think, yeah, that might be why. But ultimately, the big time, you know, the big time performers, they come out.
Well, I think it seems, you know, the people who are sort of hunting for that first goal, that first performance, seem to have really just, the crowds haven't affected them. But I think the people who have been to a games before, potentially, they may have been used to a bit more crowds and they need that to kind of get G'd up a bit. And because they've already been to games or maybe already got a medal, they don't seem to be quite their hungry self as maybe they would be if there was a, you know, a roaring stadium they're walking out to.
Mm.
I think so. Anyway.
Yeah. Well, yeah, more to come. We've just got the men's semis tomorrow.
Was that it? That's all we got. Yeah, 1500 men semi tomorrow. So a bit of a dead day. 12 p.m. Right?
It's not the walks, the
walks. No, it's no marathons. To be fair, the walks.
Yeah,
me and Lum don't really comment on, but yeah, we know Tom Bosworth. Yeah, so good luck to him.
And thanks so much for coming on, Zach. And now I'm sure we'll
see you pleasure, mate. Game soon. Pleasure.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, I'll see you soon, mate. See you soon. I think you're probably due up my end soon, aren't you?
Oh, for sure, mate.
Yeah, all right. See you then, mate.